Hello, and we are live from the Knicks Ticker Tape. No, we're not. It is On the Corner, the official podcast, pitchless.com. I'm your host, Eric Smolski, joined by Nick Pollock on the day of the Knicks Ticker Tape Parade.
Yes.
So it's a celebratory mood over here.
It is very celebratory, and I was in Kansas City on Saturday when it happened, but I was, you know, hanging out with the great-grandson of Eisenhower, so yes. Not so bad.
That's a celebratory in and of its own right. That's great. Yeah, I was out on Saturday. We're out today. Everybody's just trying to get that last bit of celebratory excitement. And I'm realizing how much people dislike us talking about the Knicks or me talking about the Knicks. Lost a lot of Twitter followers talking about the Knicks.
Did you really? So
what are you going to do? I'm happy.
Oh my gosh. Well, guys, I will say this. Eric Smolski has far too few Twitter followers. Mind-blowing to me how you do not have like 50,000. So guys, if you're listening to this and you have Twitter and you have not followed Samski NYC yet,
well, no, you made me change it.
Did you change it?
It's Smolski NYC now.
Yay, he did it. He did it, everyone. At Smolski NYC. I'm proud of him. You know, you've got your dingers on. I felt this week I have to wear my baseball shirts in support of not the Giants players. So you guys can go and get that. Just so you know, we do sell this baseball shirt and 100% of the proceeds go to the human rights campaign. So make sure you get your shirt today.
I love that shirt. I actually don't have that shirt, so I need to get that shirt. It's a great shirt. Yeah.
Go get it.
I'm buying a lot of merchandise the last week, so I may as well buy something else. Let's go.
Including dingers here. But we are going to talk about not allowing dingers.
We are. We're going to talk about pitchers who hopefully will not allow dingers for you this weekend and next week as we go through all of the pitching matchups as we have before. This week, we're going to start with the AL East again because it's just formatted that way on the document and it's going to be easiest for me. So we're starting with Baltimore Orioles. Who finished this weekend 3 at the Dodgers. They have 3 at the Angels next week and then 3 against Washington. That's going to be a two-start week for Kyle Bradish against the Angels and the Nationals after rebounding against the Mariners. I'd love to tell you it's smooth sailing from here, but there's no way of really knowing. But I'm in the bag for Kyle Bradish and will continue to be. Trevor Rogers starts on Friday against the Dodgers, so who knows how that's going to go. But how are you feeling about Trevor Rogers? He starts next week against the Angels. Do you feel kind of like, regardless of what happens against the Dodgers, you're back in-ish?
Yeah, so the Rogers situation is not easy. And I don't think we could be in unless we see just absurd command and like the best arsenal, just because it'll be a small sample. Regardless, but if it is encouraging, I might be in a little bit for that for that next start. After, I will mention with Bradish, I wrote about him on the SB Roundup this morning, and I'm more intrigued. It is a ridiculous curveball and slider, and he added more velocity to them, and having so much movement on it is insane. But he had a sub 60% strike rate on both, so it's a little strange. The 12 strikeouts you would think would just be the slider and the curveball, but he actually had 5 called strikeouts on the sinker, and they weren't like the same location that he just nails down. It's a little weird. So I'm not totally sold yet that Bradish is all good to go, but you got to keep starting.
And what do you think about the lot of conversation the last week about Brandon Young? He has pitched well surface level stats wise. There's been a little bit more strikeouts from him than we saw previously. I know people are talking about some pitch shape changes. Again, really tough start this weekend against the Dodgers, so I don't think you're going to start Brandon Young then, but how would you feel about him as like a waiver wire ad heading into a start next week against the Nationals?
Sure. I don't really love Young a ton. I think that it's a four-seamer he tries to get upstairs. Sometimes the splitter's all right, but he doesn't throw strikes enough with it. What do you know? More at 11. It's very basic. He's not allowing home runs at the moment, and that's really prevented him from having worse ratios, and that's not really a bet I want to make. So I'm not interested in pursuing him.
Understandable. And just so everybody knows, as Nick and I talked about before, I'm battling through some microphone issues. So I'm going to try to like shout into the microphone to make it sound a little better, but hopefully it will be just this week with some microphone issues.
Just so you know, guys, my reputation is I do not allow people to sound worse than they should. And I have taken care of it. Okay. That's all. Please continue, Eric.
Well, it'll be taken care of. Moving on to the Boston Red Sox, they get three against the Mariners this weekend, three at Colorado next week, and then four against the Yankees. This continues a really long stretch without any off days for the Red Sox and the Yankees as well. The Yankees, it's a brutal stretch for them. But it's two-start week for Jake Bennett. It's Colorado and the Yankees, so you're probably not going to do that. Where are we at with Connelly early? We're into some struggles right now. The last start was not particularly good. He gets the Yankees this week. Are you moving on, or are you just putting him on your bench for this week and waiting for next week?
Well, okay, so with Connelly early, I think he's far better than what we've seen, right? What we're seeing right now is development. I don't imagine he's going to have this high of a walk rate moving forward. He's still a four-seamer, changeup, slider, curve, two-seamer guy that should be better than this. So I don't think he's going to be hurting you consistently. I just don't really see that as the end result here for Connelly early. So I'm holding on to him. I'm continuing to start him, especially against the Mariners over the weekend. And from there, well, okay, we have the Yankees, as you mentioned, that's likely a bench. So play it by ear, but I do think we're going to see a better version of him in time.
And just for people in shallower formats, Sonny Gray, Ranger Suarez in Colorado, are you still putting both of them in your lineups?
That's tougher. It's up to you and how you feel. I mean, I think those are the kind of guys that are less volatile based on the matchup than others. So I think it's okay, but that's up to you. It's a tough matchup. I don't really want to.
Yeah, I feel more comfortable with Gray than Suarez, but yeah, it depends. It, 10 team leagues, I'm not going to do it with either.
Sure.
Moving on to those aforementioned Yankees, three at home against Cincinnati this weekend, three against at Detroit next week, four at the Red Sox. It's two-start week for both Carlos Rodon and Ryan Weathers. Ryan Weathers has hit a little bit of a rough patch. How concerned are you, and would you still use him in a two-start week? That's a pretty, it's like a decent one against the Tigers and the Red Sox.
I absolutely am. I think home runs are the problem, and home runs are the noisiest of all stats. So It's that simple. He still misses bats. He still gets strikeouts. I think this is fine.
One of my friends asked me, shout out Dave Freeman, if you had to choose between Will Warren and Connelly early for the rest of this season, who do you have a little bit more faith in?
I have Warren just because Warren has done what he's doing successfully for longer. Okay. While early hasn't shown that long stretch of success in the same way.
I think I'm with you. My biased Red Sox fandom wants me to say Connelly early is the better pitcher. I think he will be the better pitcher, but as of right now, he is not pitching better.
And I will have in all likelihood early ranked higher than Will Warren entering 2027.
Yeah, I think I agree with you on that one. Moving on to the Rays, three against Washington this weekend, four at home against Kansas City next week, and three at home against Arizona. That's two-start week for both Drew Rasmussen and Shane McClanahan. I know Drew Rasmussen you have as an auto. Shane McClanahan you have as a probable start. Any worry about McClanahan at all? The last outing was not a particularly good one.
So here's the thing. He was sitting 97 for the second straight start. And remember at the beginning of the year, what was he? Oh, like 94 and change. So yeah, the strike rate was terrible on both his four-seamer and changeup. Shane McClanahan was sitting, I want to say 38% on the four-seamer and 33% on the changeup, which is maybe half of what it should be. So that should be different moving forward, right? I mean, that right there is okay. And you see also the velocity increasing. It's not too surprising that you have a little bit less command on it initially. However, I would imagine it's an adjustment. Cool. I can throw harder now. This is great. All right. I mean, I need to make this other little tweak here to make sure I find the zone like I did before. I think that's going to happen.
I got my fingers crossed. We've been talking up Griffin Jacks for a couple weeks now. The last few starts have looked much better. He gets Washington on Friday. So we'll see how that goes. But then Kansas City the next week. I'm still in on this, and I'm trying to pick up Griffin Jacks where I can. And I took a couple shares in deeper formats of Ian Seymour last week. You know that I was big in on Ian Seymour in the offseason. and I think he's getting a legitimate shot here. He gets Washington this weekend. They're pretty good against lefties, but then Kansas City next week. I think it might be time to get in now before it starts to click for him, at least in like a 15-team league where you really kind of need to be more proactive on the waiver wire.
Yeah, the biggest question I have is how much are the Rays going to let him go? Mm-hmm. Are they actually going to let him be like a 5-6 inning guy? I don't know yet. And we didn't see in his last appearance quality Ian Seymour either.
Right.
So when I'm making those kind of proactive plays, traditionally it's for something that I feel, oh man, you just give him 75 pitches, 80 pitches, and we're cool. It's kind of like how we were treating Griffin Jacks a little bit more, right? And Ian Seymour isn't quite that, so I don't feel the need to go grab now. I have him against the Nationals as a do not start for this reason. But Ian Seymour against the Royals, I'm assuming it's good enough that we feel okay with it against the Royals after. So that's where I am on that. I don't feel that impetus that you might, but you might be talking more about 15 than a 10. Or sorry.
Yeah, and also, like, I am just going back on, like, this is a pitcher I really liked coming into the year when I thought he had a shot at the rotation. And so now there's an opportunity for him to get that shot. And so I'm like, holding on to my priors a little bit too much. I did write mm-hmm. him up this Monday in my streaming starting pitcher article. And I noted that the changeup has not been as good this year as it was last year. And he's using the changeup far less in two strike counts. And again, like, you know, we're trying to look at it like he hasn't been starting for all that long, and he's really more like following. But that changeup is a big reason why, like, we liked him as a swatch,
right?
With a decent sweeper against lefties as well. And so I'm intrigued by it, but he hasn't looked as good as we saw him in the second half.
Exactly.
Last in the AL East is the Blue Jays. They get three at the Cubs this weekend, three home against Houston next week, and then four against Texas. It's two-start week potentially for Shane Bieber. Coming off the IL, and a two-start week for Trey Yesavage. Let's go first with Yesavage, who we know will be up. The command has been a concern. How do you feel about Trey Yesavage? In a 15-team league, I think you're obviously going to use this two-start because you can't be picky. But in a 12-team league, Houston, Texas, where are you at?
No, I don't want to do this, Eric. Trey Yesavage is just – he doesn't know where it's going.
Mm-hmm.
How would I know what he's going to do if he doesn't know what he's going to do? I could say that about a lot of guys. I'm sorry. That's a terrible phrase. I'll never use that again. But Trey Yesavage's splitter is just not commanded the way you want it to be. He needs the slider to be the stability pitch. It hasn't been that. I am actually convinced that Trey Yesavage should try and throw low in the zone with four seamers and then just stay low all the time, do the Zach Allen thing. I think we've talked about that before. We'll see if he does something like that. But right now, he needs to prove that he's locked in before I feel good about it.
I think we're seeing with a lot of the young starting pitchers who didn't click as much as we thought that previous, the command concerns are something that maybe we need to pay more attention to when we're dreaming on somebody's upside, which is ironic because Mizorowski had command concerns all throughout the minor leagues and now he's been the best of the bunch. But it is something that I think we need to pay a little bit more attention to. I'm curious where you're at on Shane Bieber. He's going to come off the IL, most likely, yes, is what was intimated by the Blue Jays. But the command was really bad in his last AAA start. We know that he dealt with forearm injuries at the end of last year and then an elbow injury this year. We now have command issues in AAA. Are you going to, if you're in a format where you can add him this weekend, are you adding him anywhere right now?
So, yes. Just so we're clear here, you're referring to the, it looks like it's a four walk game in five innings on the 17th.
Yes.
Now, the previous start on the 11th for Shane Bieber was also five innings and it was only one walk.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So it's not just a complete end all be all like, all right, he has bad command. No, I'm not saying that you were saying that, but just getting understanding of hey, cool. It's one game doesn't necessarily say that this is where he's at completely. As far as velocity goes, I saw 91.4 in the one before where he didn't walk everybody. And then we're seeing 92. Not 92. So that's kind of what we should be expecting, which isn't great. You kind of want to see 93 to 95 for him.
He was around 92. He threw 48 of his 80 pitches for strikes. So yeah, not great.
I would still want him on my IL and then be able to keep him on the IL and wait and see. Right. That's what you always want to do, especially for the first start back with guys like this, is you add them, put them there, wait, see what we get, and then we can make a decision, right? You don't have to activate them that day. You just can't make another move until you activate it, right? Now, if you remember last year, there wasn't a ton of hype of Shane Bieber coming back. We were interested, but we didn't know what we'd get. And then we saw that first game against the Marlins. I remember we were texting back and forth, being like, dude, he looked so good against the Marlins, right? So I don't know. It could be a case where Shane Bieber is just kind of going through the motions and just trusting himself to get to that point. So I would not start him in that first one, but I wouldn't be surprised if I liked him for the second one.
Okay. Good to know. Moving on to the AL Central, the Chicago White Sox, 3 at Detroit this weekend, 3 home against the Guardians next week, and 3 home against the Royals. Nick, that's a 2-start week for your boy, Anthony K.
Where are you at, boy? I guess so.
And what would you, in a 2-start week, how would you handle Anthony K next week?
Okay. With Anthony K, I know it's the Guardians, and fine, I just upgraded him to questionable start because the Guardians are so bad right now. No Jose Ramirez. I mean, it's just okay. I don't really think that Anthony K is in a good position with his arsenal. It wasn't even that good with the great stretch he was having, right? There's one start that said, oh man, you actually put the sinkers inside the lefties and you have your breaking balls in the right spot and so on and so forth. So I'm not really enthused by this, but it is also the Royals after that. And in a 12 or so rather a 15 teamer, I get it. I don't really want to in a 12.
And what is your level of concern around Davis Martin? I think we knew he wouldn't be pitching at that level all season, but I think we also know that one bad start against the Yankees doesn't mean it's all going to come crashing down. But yes, are you suggesting it hasn't been, yeah, it's been more than one start?
Two out of three.
Are your alarm bells starting to go off a little bit?
Well, yeah, they went off against the Twins. I mean, yours did too, right? And then you had Atlanta. I'm like, oh man, I was, okay, guys, I was a little too aggressive. I'm so sorry. Okay, I know Atlanta is a little bit worse at the moment, but still. Mm-hmm. And then Davis Martin, oh, no, never, just kidding, guys. That was a Dennis. That is a Dennis from 30 Rock. He would show up in an episode and then not appear anymore. I'm okay with it. Like, I'm not, I think this is one of the elements of fantasy baseball that I always just need to be what other people aren't, where it's like, oh, this guy's amazing, so he's amazing now. I'm like, well, probably not that. Oh, the guys just did badly, so he's badly now. Well, probably not that. Like, it's always, I'm more conservative away from the thing that they did that's an extreme.
Sure.
Right? So, yeah, he's not the extreme at the beginning of the year. He's not the extreme of these, like, 700 run games or whatever. It's, he could be fine in a decent matchup. And just think of him like that.
And would you consider, and the Royals, I assume, for you is a decent matchup for next week. We're not.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Moving on to the Guardians. 3 at Houston to end this weekend, 3 at the White Sox next week, 3 against the Mariners. It's a 2-start week for Gavin Williams. Just when I think that Gavin Williams, I could trust him, and then just disaster. The last night's start was disastrous, but he also hasn't been able to go 6 in any of, I believe, the last 3 starts. Are you starting to see some wobble on the wheels?
Ooh, wobble on the wheels. Oh man, I feel like that's your next podcast, Eric.
What would that podcast even be about?
Wobble on the wheels?
Yeah.
It's about you going on buses.
Okay.
And just hearing what, you know, what's up. What's the wobble of the city? Just
what people have to say. We'll just get on the bus for morning.
People are tilted while wearing.
Wobble on the wheels.
Maybe your nickname becomes Wobble. Okay. So Gavin Williams, 2 of those starts were against the Yankees back to back, right? And then we have the most recent one. And Gavin, as you've noticed, I'm sure, mm-hmm. has increases sinker usage over four seamers. And I think you even brought it up to me last week. And against righties, he pretty much only threw sinkers last night. I don't like this. And I think what's going on is that Gavin has approached it kind of like Tanner Bibee. Both of them are like, yo, what's up? Sinkers now instead of four seamers again. And no, it's not quite that. You still have a good four seamer. You should be able to throw this with it. It's about the pair of them, not just one or the other.
Yeah.
And I would imagine that Gavin's figuring out this new tool and is going to make that adjustment. The good news is that Gavin Williams is still throwing strikes with his breaking stuff.
Yeah.
And that was a 60% right on both the slider and the sweeper and the curve last night. So I'm cool with it. I think he's just fine. It's a small sample.
That balance, finding that balance is always...
And no wobble.
Problematic. No wobble. No wobble on the wheels with your pitch mix. Can't have it. Move to the Tigers. There's no more wobble in Tarek Skubal's elbow.
Well, maybe.
No?
It wasn't great in the still.
Oh, sure.
But it was at 97, but he didn't...
He was out there, though. But yes, it's not. It wasn't peak Tarek Skubal, but, you know, I think it's just crazy we have him out there. Yes, it's a three-start stretch against the White Sox this weekend. They go three home against the Yankees, four home against Houston. That's a two-start week for both Framber Valdez and Casey Mize. A lot of people, when James Shiano and I did our Q&A on Monday, said, should we drop Framber Valdez? So,
oh, man.
Should people drop Framber Valdez?
So, okay. I got a lot to say about Framber Valdez. I'm going to tell you all about it after this break. Eric, do you know the whole story of me and Framber Valdez? Do you know the legacy of me banging the table about how people misunderstand Framber Valdez?
I mean, I know that in the last two times that we've done rankings podcasts at First Pitch Arizona, it's a lot of... Every year he has a really strong stretch where his curveball is on fire and he looks great. And then he also has stretches where it's not working and he looks terrible.
Yeah, but I mean, yes, there are times when he's on fire. And and well, over the years, he's always been a high whip guy. You know, yeah. I remember so distinctly, I think it was 24, when he had a terrible ERA and whip through the first 4 months. And I remember ranking Framber in the 50s with Eno on the craft. He's like, what? You can't do that. I was like, do you see how bad this is right now? And then all of a sudden, he turned it all around because, of course, I had that conversation with Eno. And yeah, it's going to turn around at some point. Exactly what you're saying. It's the same conversation in First Pitch Arizona. We're going to have it again this year. I'm sure this is like the new Blake Snell thing, right? Of, you know, he's going to go on a tear and everyone's going to be like, oh my God, Framber Valdez is so great, whatever. I actually do think that pitching against Houston in Houston was helpful for him, at least like how the adrenaline, but then again, it was still like sub 50% curveballs or for strikes. You got to get that pitch in order. Yes. I don't know how he's going to do it. He will. He always does. But Framber Valdez, you gotta hold.
And what about, we got Casey Mize off the IL. First start was not particularly good, but you're not going to start somebody, especially Casey Mize, first start off the IL. It's a two-start week. So for fantasy managers in deeper leagues, but it's Yankees and Astros. Like,
yeah.
I know we didn't believe that Casey Mize was going to keep pitching to the surface level stats that he had prior to the injury. Can you use him in that two-start week?
I kind of think you can. Okay. I mean, the main thing with Casey Mize for me has been, do you have the slider? And he does. He's got the slider. You know? I mean, that's kind of it. If he has that, then he should be good enough to start 5-6 innings against even the Yankees or the Astros. Obviously wasn't good in the first one, still ill, all of that stuff. I am going back and forth of where I should put Mize, either in questionable or in do not start. I'm going to probably switch him to do not start just to be conservative, but I like this kind of scenario a lot where you have someone that people are 50-50 on and he doesn't do well for a game and then has a bad matchup after. Why? Because then you don't feel the necessity to take the chance on the wire without seeing it. So you can actually be a smart manager, observe that start to see if it has the things that you want, again, the bad matchup, and then you can jump in for the better matchup against Houston after.
Yeah. I everything you're saying makes sense. I can't get over the hump of, I mean, with Casey Mize, of like truly believing in the production. I think, again, 12 team leagues, 15 team leagues is a different story. I would not be starting for the Yankees. And then, you know, depending on how it goes, maybe against Houston in deeper formats, it becomes a possibility. And I'm not interested in Justin Verlander if and in when he comes back.
Oh, gosh, no.
Moving on to the Royals. They have two against St. Louis this weekend because of the World Cup. Three at Tampa Bay next week. Sorry, four at Tampa Bay next week. Three at the White Sox. It's two-start week for Michael Wacha and Lunder Avila. Wacha, love it. Fire it up. Ready to go. Stephen Kolek, we're on a decent stretch right now.
Did you just say fire it up for Wacha?
I think so.
I mean, he's not been good for like 3-4 starts now.
I guess I'm looking, again, depends on your format. In a 15 team league, I think you're still getting the potential for quality for length. I guess you're not really getting wins, but I look at Tampa Bay as a team where, again, they're not, maybe I just need to recalibrate Tampa Bay. Because I look at the offense and it doesn't look exciting, and
I'm not saying no for 15 teamers. I just didn't expect to hear "fire it up" for Michael Wacha.
Sure, I guess I was trying to get through it quickly and say that as a two start, I'm not running from that as a two start because I think it's still a decent pitcher. Yes, he's had a rough stretch, but I think it's still a decent pitcher in some decent matchups, even if they're not great matchups. The White Sox, you know, have not been as prolific in offense as before. I still think they're a good offense. Mm-hmm. The Rays, maybe I'm, you know, not giving them as much credit as they need, as they warrant.
Well, what I'm doing is I am completely derailing this podcast. And Stephen Kolek has been on a run. So we need to say, yeah, sign me up for now. And hopefully he just keeps throwing strikes. And that's really all this is. He just has the ability to throw strikes across a wide arsenal, which generally is a Toby. So cool. Let's keep being a Toby.
And same thing, I assume you're at with Noah Cameron now that we found the locations with Noah.
Yeah, Cameron. He had a worse start last time, but it's like, you know what? This should be fine.
Fingers crossed. Again, depends your views on Tampa Bay, I guess. I would think it's a fine enough start. But we got to zoom in. We got to zoom in. For the people that are listening on the podcast, Nick is just
I'm having fun with the camera. Okay.
It's great.
It's great.
Moving on to the Twins. Three at Arizona this weekend, three at home against the Dodgers, three at home against the Rockies next week. That's a two-start week for Zebby Matthews. I can't do that in a two-start week because the Dodgers are at the front of it. And I just, sure. He pitched better in his last start. And so I think that like maybe the one-off against the Rockies is a different story, but I don't feel comfortable using him in a two-start week where I have to use that Dodgers.
No. I Zebby Matthews, you guys know how I feel about this.
Yeah. We may get Mick Abel back this week.
Mick Abel guy.
Yeah.
Oh man. I really hope so. It's
perfectly timed because
Rockies, I mean, it might be actually probable if he looks so good against the Snacks. Yeah.
It's Arizona at home this weekend, and then it's the Rockies. I will say in a lot of leagues I'm in that have IL spots, I was surprised how many teams kept him because he was kind of like one of those late-round flyers coming into the year. And yes, he looked good, but then it was like a scary elbow thing where you're like, I don't know when he's coming back. But, you know, check your waiver wire. He might not be as readily available as you would expect if you're in an IL league.
Sure.
And there are also some NFBC formats where he was picked up like after his second rehab start or something.
Uh-huh.
Who's on that mug?
Who do you think it is?
I can't see. I see. Is it you? I was going to say that. And I was like, he wouldn't put himself on a mug.
It was like, don't worry about it. I did not buy it for myself is what I'm trying to say.
Sure you didn't.
Sure you didn't.
But okay. Mick Abel, We are in on it. We're excited to have him back. You know, I still ill on the Arizona start if he makes it. So maybe keep him on your bench for that. But Rocky start could be really nice.
Oh man, we've got four more divisions to go through. Can we do this in like 30 minutes?
Well, we got a little sidetracked before. We're ready to go. Yeah, we're going to the Athletics.
Oh, that's easy. No, I say for Gage jump.
Okay.
Pretty much. I mean, Ginn is, I think he just threw softer and that scared me. Perkins is kind of interesting too. He's going to get the Angels at the Angels, fortunately.
Same with Jack Perkins' train.
There was a lot of weird wind going on, messed around with the movement, which I talked about with Eno, because he had like 24 horizontal sweepers at times and then like 12 in another one. But Perkins does throw like 96. He does have that like 91, 92 mile per hour cutter in between. It's a big kick change at times too. It's just, can he locate it effectively? I don't know. Well, JT Ginn, I feel he's getting worse. He's getting worse. So, but Gage jump at San Francisco. Oh my gosh. Sign me up for that.
And JT Ginn, we should note, was always somebody where you were like, hey, we'll see how this goes. And I think the stretch of production was long enough that we started to think, hey, maybe this is like a for real thing. And I don't know that he was ever going to be like a 2.9 ERA pitcher. So there are always going to be some rough spots. I'm okay with using him against the Angels, but I would say, yes, the wheels have wobbled. Sure. They're starting to wobble.
Oh my gosh. The wobbly wheels.
And I, like you, like the idea of Jack Perkins. And so we'll see how that continues to go. Moving to the Astros. 3 against the Guardians this weekend, 3 at Toronto next week, 4 at Detroit. It's a two-start week. Actually, it might not be a two-start week. It's definitely a two-start week for Hunter Brown. It might not be a two-start week for Peter Lambert because there is the possibility that Christian Javier comes off the IL. Now, Peter Lambert will not be removed from the rotation because right now you would have to assume that he is ahead of Kaiwei Tang and Tatsuya Imai. We already know that at least for this weekend, Mike Burrows is piggybacking with Tatsuya Imai and will not make a start over the weekend. So Mike Burrows, I guess, is kind of like on the way out, but Imai isn't really pitching that much better.
Yeah.
Kaiwei Tang was stretched out to be a starter, but he hasn't looked great recently.
Yeah.
So I don't know. There's a lot of moving pieces. I guess my question to you are twofold is, assuming Peter Lambert stays in the rotation, it's Toronto next week. How interested are you? And are you at all interested in Christian Javier coming back?
So I just want to get this out of the way. I think Amai sticks around. I think the Pasta Pirate sticks around. I think they're going to say hit the highway, Tang. And then Peter Lambert. Well, I'm scared. Okay. And maybe this is me just being dumb and looking at the data and whatever. I'm just going to tell you there are two flags that I saw of injury. One, obviously lower velocity, but two of donut command that is like either down the middle or just not inside the zone. Mm-hmm. He got through 7 innings doing this, which is just crazy to me. But I saw this and go, ooh, Peter Lambert, this doesn't look great. It could have just been a bad day or something like that too. At Toronto, not ideal. I think as long as he makes that start, there isn't like an actual issue or anything, fine. Then he's a Toby, so okay, that's all right. Christian Javier, I mean, we haven't seen Christian Javier look good since the same year that Spencer Strider appeared, right? So that's a long time, guys. I would not be holding out hope for that.
Yeah, sadly, I'm not as well. And Lambert is somebody I'm not keen on like rest of season. Like you need to be holding on to him. We'll move on from that rotation to the Angels. Sorry, I was looking for the color coding, and this Angels, it looks orange, and so it just threw me off. The Angels have 3 at the Athletics this weekend, 3 home against Baltimore, and then 3 home against the Athletics next week. It's two-start week for Sam Aldegheri. But my question to you is this the year? Is it happening? Are we finally believing in Reed Detmers?
No.
Oh, okay, that's sad. I mean,
I think Houston and LA, for some reason, the colors got backwards on the start sheet. But Rory Detmers, it's so weird because the slider is just not doing what it's supposed to do. And Koufax was awfully kind and gave him all the outs on these pitches. But I'm seeing all the signs of this breaking right now. I want it to keep going. Don't get me wrong, but I would be selling high on Rory Detmers. Now, he hosts the Athletics in LA. Okay, fine. Like, I'm not going to say no to this as long as he's going well, but I don't have high hopes this is going to stick around for a while.
Okay. So you might be trying to trade him away before he starts on Sunday in Sacramento.
Yes.
Okay. Another player pitching well starting in Sacramento and then getting Sacramento at home is Walbert Urania. I assume that we're just kind of like, it's the same as like Stephen Kolick. It's the same as JT Ginn. Yeah. We're just going to ride it while it's going well, but you don't necessarily feel like he's somebody that's going to be locked into our rotations.
So I actually should update the second one be as a probable, but while this first one, I would really hesitate to throw him in Sacramento because not just because of Sacramento, but because Walbert Urania last two starts have been sub 50% strike rates on the changeup. And if you've been following Urania at all, it's all about the changeup with him. So how he's gone through those games is all of a sudden absurd strike rates on either the sinker or the sweeper. And even the last one was like 40% strikes in the sweeper. He just got so fortunate with that sinker. I don't love that. That is just getting worse and worse. I feel as if this is the one where everyone goes, nope, I'm out of here. And I would say, cool. If the changeup had strikes, fine. Then I'll go with him against Athletics again at home. But if it's still not there, I'm terrified.
Yeah, we talked about this a little bit earlier with like the Jose Soriano thing weeks ago. Is like, I just get worried by empty velocity fastball guys where they need perfect location in order to get the whiffs, because when that location isn't there, the starts tend to be bad. And it's not like he has two consistently good pitches. The changeup and the sweeper have both been good throughout this season, but they're not both good every single start this season. And so I think the changeup is a far better pitch than the sweeper. The sweeper has had a couple of starts where you're like, oh, hey, we got sweeper command. And then the next start, you're like, we don't have sweeper command.
This is why Eric Samulski is the greatest host. He says a phrase and I give like some slight showcase of like, hold on. And he goes, okay, I know what you're talking about. I'll clarify. Sweeper isn't amazing. I know. It's just at times.
Yeah. It's been in brief glimpses. It's been good. You know what's not good, Nick?
What?
An entire team of starting pitchers agreeing.
Don't do this, Eric. Don't fall for this trap.
You don't believe it?
So oh, my God. Eric, you're falling for this trap. This is the classic trap that we say, guys, you're being ridiculous about all the time. What am I going to say, Eric?
The Seattle Mariners have said that all of the starting pitchers agreed.
Yes, totally.
That they are going to rotate in a piggyback situation.
Yeah.
That they're going to keep all six guys in the rotation, but they're not going to a traditional six-man rotation.
Right.
They're going to a five-man rotation with six starters, and they will alternate who is being piggybacked.
Right.
Which I assume your point is, we've had this happen many times and teams say things like this and then it doesn't actually happen like this, and it winds up being a five-man rotation.
Right. Why doesn't it happen?
Because somebody gets hurt or somebody gets sent down or, you know, all those.
Yeah, it's been okay. It's been 3 months, Eric.
Well, my consternation was more about the immediate, because I'm thinking, okay, let's say they do this for the next 2 or 3 weeks. How do we know yet who's being piggybacked?
Okay, so 2-3 weeks. I'll tell you this right now. I am willing to wager that not all six members of this team are either healthy or not demoted or removed from this team in 3 weeks. I will absolutely bet on that by, what is it? That would be like July 4th, by July 4th.
Okay.
No, the 11th. I don't know. I can't do math right now. It's going to be 3 weeks. All right. Because the Mariners as a squad, I mean, Bryce Miller was recovering from injury. But no one in the opening rotation has been hurt yet or like removed or anything, which is just unheard of, Eric. That does not happen. All right. Remember all the conversation on Weathers is going to go to the pen. He's got to go to the pen. But then you have Luis Gil getting hurt. Then you have Max Fried. Oh, no. My gosh. Right. It happens all the time. What was the stuff with the Twins? You see what the situation is with the Twins right now? It's just bonkers to me. And here's the thing, too. If we're not even talking about a six man, we're not talking about practice. We're talking about two of the guys being in a limited start or so once every month, once every 3 weeks, I should say. Right. Okay. You know, I mean, that's actually a good thing if you want to preserve health, theoretically. Sure. I think every single team should do this. This is a great idea because no one ever really goes like 30 starts. And it's like 10 people do, you know. Sorry. Yeah.
My concerns are more just about the communication of it. And from a fantasy perspective, how early we'll know who is being piggybacked with who, because knowing that could change fantasy implication for a particular week. If you know, hey, George Kirby has a 2-start week next week. It's Pittsburgh. It's Cleveland. You're going to start
exactly
him anyway.
It's going to be Eric.
Right. But is George Kirby's second start going to be a piggyback instead of a traditional second start? Like, those things do matter.
What's going to happen is if let's think about this from the scheduling perspective.
Sure.
Okay. Bryce Miller, Luis Castillo going on Friday. Then Emerson Hancock, Logan Gilbert, George Kirby, right? And you can't piggyback Bryce Miller and Luis Castillo. So what you probably do is you could do Bryce Miller, Luis Castillo, then piggyback the next one. So that's going to be Emerson Hancock and Logan Gilbert. And then you go through it again. And then it's probably going to be George Kirby and Brian Wu. And then you go through it again. And then it's Bryce Miller and Luis Castillo and so on and so forth, right? That is the logical way that you would do this. Now, does it really, really matter? I don't know. Like, okay, let's say Emerson Hancock and Logan Gilbert are piggybacking, right? We don't know who's going to start that one, who's going to relieve that one. It's got to be Logan Gilbert, and then followed by Emerson Hancock. Now, is Logan Gilbert, if he's pitching fine, going to stop at 4 innings? Probably not. It's probably going to be like 5, right? That's generally what we've seen with the Bryce Miller, Luis Castillo one. You have a guy who's like leading the way and doing it, and then the other one's relieving it.
Yes.
Okay, if I were to say between Wu and Kirby, I'd probably say Wu starts, Kirby follows, right? All right, so there's some knowledge right there, maybe, of like, how do you approach this? I'm not going to not start Logan Gilbert, right? Okay, Emerson Hancock, but Emerson Hancock isn't like my top play. So I'm not really too worried about that. And then Wu and Kirby. Okay, Wu, obviously allowing 2 men in your home runs right now, a little bit weirdness. It should be fine. George Kirby's kind of like not executing what you want him to do. He's not looking like that stud. So you know what? Again, not like the biggest sacrifice for you to choose someone else over George Kirby at the moment anyway, which would happen in like 2-3 weeks.
Okay.
Okay.
You've maybe talked me off the ledge. Maybe.
What ledge? What ledge were you on?
I wasn't. It wasn't. It was a large roof. I wasn't close to the ledge. I was up top of a building somewhere. Who knows?
All right. So I hope that puts the rest in. Watch. In 1 week, no one is going to get hurt.
Maybe. Speaking of falling off a ledge, the Texas Rangers next week get 3 at Miami, 4 at Toronto. It's a 2-start week for both Kumar Rocker and Jack Leiter. Their last start for each of them was not particularly good. We were kind of wondering how Kumar Rocker was doing this. Are you out? Time to turn the page?
He dances with the disco. Okay. Mm-hmm. He throws sliders over the plate like Anthony Descafani did at like 40% of the time. Hopefully he has covers there too. He's giving himself an opportunity. It's the Marlins. Sure, I guess. Questionable start. Same with Jack Leiter. He's the quintessential poor execution, awesome stuff piece. And Miami. So sure, whatever, but not two-step, because I know at least one of these are not going to go well. Mackenzie Gore is an interesting one, though. And I need to upgrade him from questionable against the Padres to probable. as he's absolutely looking better now. And I feel like we just had the start that was like really good. So feel much better about him. Eovaldi's just letting home runs for some reason. I don't know why. He won't.
It happens. It's noisy. Yep. Moving on to the NL. We're going to do that, though, after this break. The Atlanta Braves, 3 against Milwaukee this weekend, 3 at San Diego, 3 at San Francisco. It's two-start week for J.R. Richey. Are you at all back in on J.R. No. Richey enough to use him in two-start week?
No. Okay. I was never in on J.R. Richey.
I know, but he's back. Slight pitch mix change. Sure.
No.
Yeah, I get it. No. Slight pitch mix change, just for the record, I wrote about on Monday in my streaming starting pitching article. It's just moving away from as many four-seam fastballs, mixing in more sinkers, pitching backwards to lefties, things like that, which are things that he should be doing. So kudos to him for doing it. That doesn't mean you need to pick him up.
Now, Eric, what is the rule that we've learned, the lesson that we were preaching before J.R. Richey? We're going to continue to preach now. We're going to use him as a wonderful example for it. What is that lesson?
Were we just talking about command before?
Almost. Prospects who are right-handed pitchers, focus on command with changeups as their main pitch. Absolutely not.
Right. Yes. That's the Logan Henderson pre-sweeper discussion.
Well, Logan Henderson had a really good four-seamer.
That's true. But he was just changeup first. Changeup primary. Logan Henderson? Yes.
Four-seamer is like 50% usage.
Last year, his main pitch, maybe not in usage, but last year his main pitch was, when he came up, was...
Oh, really? Was it
maybe I'm wrong.
No, I want to see this.
When Logan Henderson came up and had those like 3 or 4 really great starts, was that he was heavy changeup usage. And I could be wrong.
I mean, I could very well be wrong, Eric.
So
this is what we do on this podcast, guys. We do all these stupid tangents. And like, Nick, you'd never get to the NL. You always speed through the NL.
Well, this is NL, just for the record.
Okay.
While Nick's looking that up, I'll just say Miami, 3 at San Francisco, 3 home against San Francisco this weekend, 3 home against Texas next week, 3 at St. Louis. That is a two-start week for Sandy Alcantara. You have do not start next to both Ryan Gusto and Tyler Phillips. They're in the rotation, but we shouldn't care too much for fantasy right now.
No, we should not. And with Logan Henderson, yes, he was pretty much only four-seamer changeup, throwing more four-seamers. But the fastball, four-seamer was very good, though. That's the distinction I'm trying to make of, like, your command focus and the only good pitch is your changeup. That's what I'm trying to get at. Like the Dylan Lesko, is that? Drew Thorpe kind of thing, too, right? Ryan Pepia before fastball became really good and the slider got really good, right? That kind of stuff. Gavin Stone. But the Gavin Stone game got better.
Gavin Stone.
Yeah.
Back to Miami.
Yes.
Ryan Gusto, Tyler Phillips.
No.
Any interest at all?
No. We talked about this last week. And we're like, maybe if we get intrigued against the Phillies, we'll be in on the Giants. But guess what? We got no intrigue against the Phillies. So we're not interested this week. See, we're consistent.
Consistently bad has been the New York Mets.
Wow. At a time like this, really.
I mean, listen, I'm a New Yorker. We're allowed to do it. It's been rough. 2 at Philadelphia this weekend. They get 4 home against the Cubs next week and then 3 against the Phillies. It's 2-start week for Nolan McClain, which makes you feel pretty good. It is also a 2-start week for Kodai Senga. Does not make you feel as good.
Yeah, Kodai Senga did not look very great in that first one. He did have 96 on his four-seamer, but just had no feel for stuff. Sean Manaea, I'm kind of interested in against the Cubs because he did have really good command against the Phillies. I'm curious to see how that's going to go, I believe, today for Sean Manaea, so we can really get a good assessment of that one. And Nolan McClain, I wrote about in the roundup, him and Robbie Ray and Kyle Bradish, all 3 of them had really great starts on Wednesday. However, all 3 of them showcased flaws that means that they're not out of the woods yet. And I want to really believe it. And I have him as an auto start because, come on, you're not going to bench him here. But it's not quite as solid as we want it to be.
Yes. In on, I mean, not in. intrigued by Manaea, Peralta, McClain, and then I'm probably out on the rest of the rotation. We have talked about the Phillies a bunch. It's two against the Mets this weekend. It's four at Washington next week, three at the Mets. Jesus Luzardo, two start week. Sanchez is great. Zach Wheeler is great. Aaron Noah is in a void. And Andrew Painter was sent down to the minors. And so we don't know officially who's taking his spot in the rotation, but I don't know that it really matters from a fantasy standpoint.
Yeah, and how Alan Ranjel is kind of interesting. He's the pirate angel, right? Ranjel. Okay. Anyway, he throws over the top, so he gets a lot of vert. It's like 19 to 20 inches of vert, but he's super over the top. And he does have a changeup with a pair of breaking balls with it. I remember being a little bit interested in the preseason because he was the only one after Painter or Taiwan Walker when Wheeler was still hurt and they didn't need him at the time. We might see him now. I'm curious if it will be okay. It's just 93, though, in the 1-3 inning stint we saw this year. Not quite what we want. And guess what? It's a changeup first. Right-hander.
This is why you're the best in the business, and this is also why our podcasts go long, because I try and speed through the Phillies, and you're like, actually, Alan Ranjel, I just need to tell you a couple things quick about him.
That's what you guys are worried about. Who is this guy? What do we do? I'm like, don't do it. Just don't do it yet.
It's what the people want, but, you know, we'll get through them eventually. Washington, three at Tampa Bay this weekend. They have four home against the Phillies next week, three at Baltimore. It's two-start week for Foster Griffin and Zach Littell. Everybody was so in on Zach Littell like 3 or 4 weeks ago when he was on a hot stretch, and we were like, please don't do this. We hope you didn't. I'm curious. You have Cade Cavalli next week against the Phillies as a questionable start,
Yeah. Not
a do-not start. Now, I do know the Phillies.
You thought it'd be a do-not.
Well, I mean – I think of the Phillies as a really solid offense. I will say, because we are prepping to have them on Sunday Night Baseball, that
check your bingo card.
Yes, I've been looking up their offensive stats, and actually, like, the power production has been really good for a while. But since May 1st, they're actually like bottom third in weighted runs created plus. They're like the worst team in baseball in strikeout rate. And so I guess I could see an argument where, like, if you can avoid the homers, you can put up a decent start against the Phillies. But the problem is that with one swing of the bat, a good start can go to
Why he's questionable, right? There is a chance that this one does work. And Eric, who are the Phillies playing on Sunday Night Baseball?
They're playing the Mets this Sunday.
Who? You get Zach Wheeler in that one. That's really fun. Against Tobias Myers. it's David Peterson in all reality there. Yeah. With Cade Cavalli, it really is the Wasker rule game broken, right? Where you have one good breaking ball, the curveball that he squeezes in to be also the sweeper, but then the four seamer and the sinker are not that good. I've been calling Ben Brown that same thing. However, I am more convinced that the sinker is good to right-handers. It still is a problem against lefties, so I'm not going to be in on him as we get to him later, but just as a heads up for Cade Cavalli, Ben Brown being compared, I'm worse on Cavalli because the sinker is not as good to right-handers.
Interesting. Ben Brown love. Speaking of which, we're going to move to the NL Central and the Chicago Cubs. Three against Toronto this weekend, four at the Mets next week, three at Milwaukee. That's two-start week for Edward Cabrera, who is apparently healthy and going to pitch. So we'll see how that goes. Was not a blister. It was a cramp, a hand cramp is what they said after the last start. So it's Cabrera. It's the Mets. Like, I guess I have found a hard time trusting him basically anywhere, but it's two start week. I don't know that I can do it unless I fully know that he's healthy. And we should get Matthew Boyd back. He made another rehab or is making another rehab start this weekend. And then we'll presumably return to the Cubs rotation next week. You already talked about Ben Brown. You have him as a probable start against the Mets. Totally understandable. And a probable this weekend against Toronto. Yep. Anybody else you want to talk about? Javier Assad, Colin Ray, or moving?
I mean, those guys are good streams against the Mets, and I don't want you to forget that. Anyone listening, like, hey, cool, you can circle them. And Shota Managa is good. It was four games of not being good. However, the raw skills of four seamers and splitters were still great overall, and home runs. It was home runs, y'all. I did a podcast with Eno yesterday just about the underperformers, and then I said, cool, let's just at the end of this just do homer per nine for both the highs and the lows, and you can just quickly be like, oh yeah, this guy is doing really well because he has a zero homer per nine, right. Ben Brown. Oh, hey, this guy is doing really badly because he has a 3+ homer per nine in the last 30 days. Shota Managa, the noisiest of stats. So let's not hold it to them for the future.
Let's quiet that noise, people. We're going to quiet that noise. The Reds have three at the Yankees this weekend. Next week, it's three home against Milwaukee, three at Pittsburgh. It's two-start week for Brady Singer, which I am not interested in. I would advise you not to do. Where are you at on Andrew Abbott? I know you Nick Lodolo you still have as a probable start. I'm curious, after the last outing, Lodolo in Milwaukee, are you still interested in that start?
Hey, come here. Yes.
Okay. And Andrew Abbott at Pittsburgh next week.
Hey.
Maybe. Love it. That is your Reds corner. Moving on to the Brewers, three at Atlanta this weekend, three at Cincinnati next week, three home against the Cubs. It's probable two-start week for Brandon Woodruff. At Cincinnati right off the IL is a start I would love to avoid if possible, because we have not gotten an indication that Woodruff's velocity is at a place where we like it. Shane Drohan pitched today against Cleveland. I've just seen the surface level stats. I have not watched the game or looked at a breakdown, but the surface level stats are solid, fine. He only went five innings, but fine. Enough so that we can run him back out in Cincinnati next week.
All right, so I'm taking a peek at this because I've got my amazing pitch dashboard, and I'm seeing lower velocity on the slider, curveball, cutter, and changeup. A tick down on the fastball, so it's at 94 now. 60% strikes and four seamers and sliders. Looks a little scatter plot-y on the fastballs, but he did go back foot on the breaking balls as the curveball and the slider down and in to right-handers, which is nice. The curveball had a 72% strike rate, which is really nice for him to have that. Also, 40% CSW on the slider is really what made this one work for him. It's still not overwhelming. And the fact that he needed 91 pitches to go five frames against a terrible Guardians team, I'm just not super impressed with Drohan. I feel it's an okay slider. It's a 79 mile per hour curve. The fastball at 14 negative 11 horizontal is just okay. Like, nothing to me is screaming exceptional from what he does, and I'm just not that in. I just feel about it. So I don't expect him to go like eight strikeouts in a game ever, or I don't expect him to go six and cruise through it, right? I think the Brewers would pull him quickly, so it's why I didn't have him on the list this week, and maybe I should have, considering he was facing the Guardians this week. But at Cincinnati, I don't really want to do it.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to watch the start and see where I stand on it. I was hopeful, but we'll see. Obviously, what you just said doesn't fill me with confidence. So we'll watch the start and see where we're at. Moving to the Pirates, three at Colorado this weekend, three home against Seattle, and three home against the Reds next week. It's two start week for Mitch Keller. You have it as a do not start home. No. Seattle, Cincinnati.
No,
15 team leagues though. Maybe. That's a yes. That's a begrudging yes.
Look, anyone that has a chance to go six innings as two-step and isn't like Michael Lorenzen, you know, okay.
Yeah.
That's it.
Okay. Jared Jones, is it just like, hey, we're back off the IL and we knew there was going to be rust, and then unfortunately on top of the rust, we're like going to Sacramento and going to Coors, and it's just a rough stretch of things right now.
Oh, yeah, it was the gauntlet. He's going through the gauntlet right now. And I imagine after this one in Colorado, that it should be a lot easier. I did just make sure that he's a probable start for both of them. But I think if you have Jared Jones, I know it wasn't great last time. Totally understand. I'm just going to keep doing it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to drop Jared Jones. And I feel you're still going to get strikeouts here. So, yeah, I'm doing it, of course.
Did you see enough? Was Bubba Chandler's last decent start just, hey, it was the Marlins, or was there something else going on?
He went Dancing with the Disco. Good old Bubba. Maybe that's what he needed to do moving forward, too. But unfortunately, it's Coors. So we go no, and we hope for the best.
All right. Oh, Bubba, you've let me down this year. Wrapping up the NL Central with the Cardinals, it's two against Kansas City this weekend. Four home against Arizona next week. Three home against Miami. Nick, it's a two-start week for Andre Pallante, home against the Diamondbacks and the Marlins. I feel like maybe that's good enough that we can run this out there.
Yeah. I've been following Andre for a bit, being like, yo, he's got a cut four-seamer. And if he just, oh boy, if he just gets that on the inner half, inner third to left-handers with this slider that is now at 89, 88, this could work. And he's just started recently to make it work consistently. So I really do hope that he can. I mean, I feel like this is the right time to take a chance. So I have him as a questionable start for both the Snecks and the Marlins next week. Now, Kyle Leahy, you might have seen, Eric, my SP roundup this morning and the pawn that I used for Kyle Leahy.
I didn't.
Oh, you didn't. I want you to take a look at it right now and then report back what you see, because I want to get your reaction. Because I legitimately think it's a top five roundup title of the year, if not of multiple years.
Wow.
Okay. I was very, very, very happy about it.
Oh, you know, can I say amazing? Please. Because I was saying, when I was in my head, I was thinking, if only you could do sounds.
Oh, yeah.
So that you could do lay-hoo.
But then I did.
And then you did it. And you
what did what it. Is it?
What?
What is it?
It was Ode to the Leahy-Who.
Ode to Leahy-Who? Okay, Kyle Leahy gets the Snecks and then, of course, also the Marlins. How he just got seven strikeouts was his curveball in the dirt. Now, he got five strikeouts on that curveball, and they were the only five whiffs. And when I see that, I'm not as interested.
Okay.
I buy in more to secondaries when they can get whiffs and not when they're chasing an 0-2 pitches in the dirt. So I'm not seeing enough from Leahy. Also, his fastballs are not nearly as good as his contemporaries. So the foundation of four-seamer sinker, eh. And then the slider is fine, but it's just not coming together the way that I want it to. So I have him as a do not. I feel like it's a little bit of a trap from this one going into then going to face the Diamondbacks and feeling like he's going to excel there. And same thing against Miami. I don't really think we've turned a corner.
Okay. You know who has turned a corner though? It's Dustin May. And if you want to know more about Dustin May and his pitch mix change, I posted an interview that I did with him over on NBC Sports.
Right.
That you can also see it tweeted out on my Twitter account at Samulski NYC. Yeah, that's great. NL West, we're just going to go real quick. The Rockies, you're not going to start them next week. Three against Boston, three at Minnesota, but it doesn't, you're not, they're all do not starts on Nick's list.
Yep.
Arizona, three against Minnesota this weekend, four at St. Louis next week, three at Tampa Bay. It's two start week for Merrill Kelly, who we thought was in a great spot earlier this week. It did not go particularly well. St. Louis, Tampa Bay, can you roll Merrill Kelly out there again?
I think so. The changeup just wasn't there. And we have seen the changeup look good for most of it. I do recognize that he's not getting enough strikeouts to really push him into the Holly tier. He's more back in the Toby tier, which means, all right, you're just questionable. You know, it's serviceable, but I'm not going to feel like, oh man, I'm going to sneak in this start this week and feel really good about it. Right now, Sunley's got some more strikeouts. And that's cool. But and he gets a little bit of a boost going to the Trop. But otherwise, I mean, Soroka is looking great. I kind of want to just put him as an auto start at this point against the Twins and Rays. Like, how can you not start him there? While also you have the Toby of Eduardo Rodriguez. He's a really good two-step, I think, against the Cardinals and the Rays. I like him a little bit more than Kelly at this point.
Yeah, I was going to say Eduardo Rodriguez is somebody that I think we should be interested in this week. Ryan Nelson, you know, Minnesota and then Tampa Bay. Sure, yeah. I mean, I think we've talked about it. You wrote about it. The strikeout totals haven't been there because the arsenal is still kind of like fine, not great. You know, he's trying different things with the slider, with the curve, with the whatever. It's just, we'll you know, see. It, you know, it's not quite there. But again, you're not running from those matchups. So right. Those are okay. The Dodgers have three against Baltimore this weekend, three at Minnesota next week, three at San Diego. Again, they don't do two start weeks because they have
six man.
Eric Lauer at Minnesota. We've been talking about this for a couple weeks now, but I think we're seeing enough that, like, I'm putting this in the Steven Kolek territory of, like, I don't know that I trust it, but I'm going to run it out while I can.
It was a poor quality start for Eric Lauer last time. Not as many four-seamer whiffs. I definitely trust Kolek more than I do Lauer. Like,
there's a
bucket of, like, me actually really wanting to do it. I mean, I feel more confident. Like, I feel like, yeah, Kolek, yeah, cool. Eric Lauer, I'm like, that's the sound I'm making a ton.
Okay. Yeah, okay. But I will hold that putting this in the larger bucket of, I don't trust it long-term, but I'm seeing what's happening and I will use this in shallower leagues. I believe actually I picked up Lauer in our Tout Wars league, 15 team, and I'm going to keep him for that start against the Twins. Like,
oh, yeah. Okay.
You know, I'm going to keep running it out while the matchups are in his favor.
Basically. And Roki Sasaki, how does he make you feel?
I'm trying to acknowledge that the gains that we saw for weeks, which were connected to the fastball shape change, the improved slider command, the uptick in fastball velocity, that, like, those were legitimate changes. And if he loses them for a start here or there, I'm not going to throw everything out, but also acknowledging that those kind of changes in the middle of the season tend to be things that come and go.
Sure.
And so I am still more in on Roki Sasaki than I was at the start of the season, but I am not at a point where I'm just thinking, hey, this guy is like, this is it. This is like locked in now from here to the end of the year. Like, I still think we're going to get some rough patches as he tries to make these changes become permanent, consistent changes.
How I feel about Roki Sasaki can be described as that. It's just
all the audio listeners. Yeah. Nick's just moving the camera in
and giving a scared face. You know, maybe Sperry can give a
sound effect.
Kill Bill sound effect.
Yeah.
As we do that, but you know, I think that Roki Sasaki showcased three different ways of having success in three in a row, and then lost it. And once again, I have yet to see just. He does this, success. He does this, same thing, success. That hasn't happened yet. It's looking like he's a hipster at this point.
Yes.
I'm very curious how it looks against Baltimore. If he does recover, I'd be more inclined to push him up against the Padres, but I don't know. I'm back and forth on it.
Yeah, I think the hipster label applies perfectly here. The Padres, three at Texas this weekend, three against Atlanta, three against the Dodgers. It's two-start week for Michael King. It's Atlanta and the Dodgers, which is not great because we're also not seeing the best version of Michael King. Where are you at on Michael King? I think most people are going to use him in that two-start week because he's Michael King and he's got two starts, but are you worried?
I mean, he has a tiara, turn around right away. So he's your typical, like, it is not going well. How long do we do it for now? If you had Bubba Chandler, this is the questionable start that you go, I really wish you put him in the do not start tier. And I don't blame anyone for dropping Michael King at this point. I also recognize that it is not the same as it is with other do not starts, where it's a very low percentage of being not bad and also a very low percentage for having a high ceiling. That is not the case for Michael King, where there is a very, very good ceiling that can still just appear. Mm-hmm. And that's why he's in the questionable start as opposed to the do nots. I don't want to do it though.
Yeah, I understand that. I get that. I'm with you on the Tiara aspect of like, I'm still expecting it to bounce back. And so I would have a lot of FOMO from cutting him, but I understand the logic behind doing
you
so.
You got to get over the FOMO.
I can't. If I go to therapy for one thing, it's probably FOMO.
Scott Pianowski, can you give Eric Samulski a call? Thank you so much.
We used to podcast together. Maybe
I know. So he's got your number.
I know he does. He does. I'll
give him a call, Scott.
Last team, and then we got to wrap it up and get out of here. It's the Giants, 3 at Miami this weekend. 3 home against the Athletics. 3 home against the Braves. It's 2-start week for Robbie Ray, who was used after Adrian Hauser in the last appearance as like a follower, but no. Which was interesting.
Well, no, not though. It was suspended. He picked
up the suspended game. Yeah, sorry. I blanked on that.
Yeah, trust me, that one's going to get forgotten about a lot.
Yes. So, yes, Robbie Ray in a 2-start week. It's the Athletics at home, so in San Francisco, so I like that a lot more. Again, the Braves are not going to have Acuna, and so that makes the Braves spot a little bit less intimidating, and so I'm okay with that as a 2-start. Whether it's Tyler Mahle, Trevor McDonald, like, I think I've soured a little bit on McDonald. Mahle had terrible command in his last rehab start, wasn't pitching well before getting hurt. Carson Wisenhurst, did that do anything for you over the weekend in case he actually gets a shot? Not over the weekend, yesterday in the doubleheader.
Yeah, Wisenhunt, no. He was throwing 92-93. Okay. And with Robbie Ray, he did not. He was at the weirdest start. Just go look at that one. Look at his right-handed approach to batters yesterday, Eric. That's all I ask you to do because it was ridiculous. I'm not even going to tell you guys the podcast. You can read the roundup if you want to find out. But it was silly, and I don't know if I actually really like doing these. He's not out of the woods yet. So be careful there. Logan Webb, you should feel totally fine with at this point. And Landon Roop, I'm disappointed, buddy. That's all I'll say. I'm just incredibly, incredibly disappointed.
No, I'm not disappointed with.
The New York Knicks.
Is the New York Knicks. And is our work on this totally long podcast with tons of sidetracks. But hopefully you guys all enjoyed that. One day we'll tighten it up when we say we'll tighten it up, but that day is not today. Oh, what? And on that note, I'm Eric Samulski, the Pelican.
I'm Nick Pollock, the Lion.
And I'm going to go get a functioning microphone.